Good morning. My family and I are just always thrilled to be here at Shore Christian Fellowship, and it is such a blessing to be with you all. Why don't we stand up together? You're getting some notes in your hands. I think enough of us have it. I want you to read this passage with me, Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16, and let's read it out loud, and as you're reading, Lord, we ask for focus today. Help us to focus. Let me ask you all a question as we get ready to read this. Is there anybody here in the room other than me that has a problem focusing from time to time? Anybody? Yeah. Now, you know that there are zillions of thoughts wanting to get into your mind this morning, right? About what went on yesterday, what's going on this afternoon, and all that. So here, there's this glorious scripture in 1 Peter, and it says, gird up the loins of your mind. All right? And if I did what I did in my home, I'm just not going to do it. It might freak you out. I would rip my belt off and wrap it around my head and go, oh! That's what it means, to gird up. You get the picture? That means that we have a choice to focus. And all these thoughts that come in, some of them are just our wandering minds, but some of them the enemy wants to take you off kilter, so that you do not benefit from God's Word. You have to understand, we are digging now into the very Word of the living God. He is alive, He is real, everything we sang and worshiped about Him is real, and this living God has breathed out His living Word, and that living Word is what we're going to look at. Now listen to this. That Word has power. The testimony of that Word is that it's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is able to get down into places inside of you that nothing else on this earth has the ability to do. To get down between bone and marrow and soul and spirit, and to get down to the thoughts and intents of your heart. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to get down into the thoughts and intents of your heart to free them up so that you can see as He sees, and so you can understand as He understands. So right now, gird up the loins of your mind. Yeah? When we read this together, let's throw ourselves into it. And then as we listen to it being drawn out and unfolded, as it were, let's give ourselves to it. You won't have this hour again in the rest of your life. This is this hour for now. Let's give ourselves to it. Yes? Amen? Amen. Here we go. Hebrews 11, 13 to 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Now just stay standing for just a minute. Now I want you to think of this while you're standing, and then we're going to pray. Solomon. In the book of Proverbs, which is the book of what? Wisdom, it is. He says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so our thoughts are much more powerful and important than we might think. The way we think and what we focus on becomes who we are and how we live. As we navigate through this life, that becomes extremely important. So let me ask you a question. What you thinking about these days? What's on your mind? What's in your heart? What are your hopes? What are you hoping for? Somebody asked you, what are you hoping for right now, and a microphone was jammed up into your face, what would you say? What are you hoping for? What is that thing which you're hoping for? What motivates you? What's your vision? And all these questions cut to the core of who you are and what you... Who are you? And what are you? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The whole Bible and the whole New Testament is loaded with what real Christians hope for. The Christian hope. That's what we're going to talk about today. And it centers and it flows from a person and a place. The person is Jesus and the place is heaven. We're talking eternity. And we want to dig into that eternal reality today. Father, I pray. God, I pray that you would stamp eternity on my eyes, and the eyes of my family, and all the eyes of my friends here at Shore Christian Fellowship today. Stamp eternity, Lord. Help us to get it. Help us to get it. Open the eyes of our heart. Lord, our ears can hear something and it never make it to our heart. I pray today that you will just plow up the fields of our hearts and let our hearts be receptive and let the seed of your word get in there and let it get down in there where it will sprout and grow. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. Amen. Please have a seat if you would. This passage is taken from a book in the New Testament called Hebrews. And that book of Hebrews is just a spectacular book. It's one of the most incredible treatises on Christianity that you will ever read. It's one of the most incredible treatises on understanding how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together and how it all points to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the great theme of the book of Hebrews is the supremacy and the preeminence of Jesus Christ over all things, over angels, over Moses, over Judaism, over everything. And it points to how all the stuff in the Old Testament, like all those sacrifices, when you read the book of Leviticus and you just page after page and blood and guts and you know, the fat and the all that stuff, it just points to how all of those sacrifices point to the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It is an encouragement, the book of Hebrews, to challenge believers to look ahead to the reward, to the eternal reward that's coming. Because here they're suffering, they're in persecution, they're in difficulty. And God tells them how God's going to use all that, just like He will in your life use the difficulty as in a sense of chastening to stir us and waken us and get us pointed to Him and our hearts linked to Him. And in the middle of that, we come to chapter 11. Maybe a little later than the middle of it. But the chapter 11 is what Christians, some of you know this, what do Christians call chapter 11? The Hall of Faith. It's like the Hall of Fame. It's a play on words. But in that, we get all these people who God says are examples of faith. And the whole chapter is about faith. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And sometimes we grab hold of that, and we need faith for things here, don't we? We need faith for the next dollar. We need faith for our bodies to be well. We need faith for a loved one to come to Christ. But the faith, and then Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we know we've got to have faith to please God. And we tend to think of faith here and now. But I want you to understand, all of Hebrews 11 is pointing and telling about a faith that is focused on not here and now, but over Jordan, over on the other side, over in the eternal land which we're headed. That's what the faith here in chapter 11 is talking about. It brings us to the heart of God. And it shows and displays what God's heart is for us and what He wants our hearts to be. I love these four verses of Scripture. I've loved them for many years. They are pulsating. They're pulsating with joy and victory. How many of you need some victory in your life? That's what this is pulsating with. And I guarantee you this. Without what we're talking about here, you will not walk in this life in victory. You can't. And that's the whole message. That's the whole point. It's the whole point of the New Testament. We're going to dig into that. And it is pulsating with peace as well. How many of you need some peace? Yeah. What we're going to do is look at the reality of eternity and how eternity reaches into the here and now and causes us to have that victory and that peace and that joy that we all long for deep inside. A faith-filled focus on our eternal destiny as God has called us to live as eternal creatures. Let me ask you, do you see yourself as an eternal creature today? I'm going to do everything I can by God's grace, by God's help, to help us to do that. I need all the help I can get. I need things. I need to read things. I need to look at things. I need object lessons. We're going to do all that today. All right? So, have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Read it again and again and again. That's one of those gifts from God that gets our focus on Pilgrim's Progress. We're talking about pilgrims and men. Here you have, in Pilgrim's Progress, you have Christiana, and she's at an interpreter's house. An interpreter's house has all these little rooms with these things going on, and they're pictures, but interpreter has to come and explain what they are. So in one of the rooms, you have this guy bent over, and he's raking a bunch of muck and gunk, and he's got a muck rake, raking muck, all right? Above him is the Lord with a crown of glory holding it out to him. And the guy has no clue it's there because he's down here intent on raking muck. And he rakes it over here and over here, and he's getting nowhere. And the interpreter says, that is a picture of the way human beings live their lives here on earth. We grab for everything we can grab here on earth. And we try to pile stuff up. And we try to... And we get so fixated and so tangled and intertwined with this, and we're just looking here. And all the while, there's the glory of God. There's the glory of this eternal pull, and we're missing it. That's what that picture's about. You are an eternal creature. And so were these people of faith. And look what they did. We're going to break it down. We're going to go verse by verse here for a few minutes. Then we want to talk about how this relates to us. All right, you ready? Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Who were these? Well, if you read the first part of Hebrews 11, you have Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And then you keep reading the rest of Hebrews 11. It gets to the end and said, the picture is they all died in faith looking to the promise. Remember Enoch? Enoch walked so close to God. What happened? Boom! He took him. That's there not just for Enoch. Enoch didn't need that to be in the Bible for him. That's there for us. And it's there as a picture of one whose eyes and mind and heart are so set on God that that's what he's living for. And this chapter is a call for us in the same way. God is shining his spotlight on chapter 11, and he's saying, hey folks, here are my examples to you of what it means to live by faith. It means to live with your eyes on another land and to live with your eyes on the reward in that other land. Did you know it's okay for us as Christians to think about the reward? It's not only okay, God urges us to look for that reward. It's coming. Not having received the promises, that is in this life, they didn't get them. They were looking. Day after day. Week after week. Month after month. Year after year. They're looking. And they didn't get it here. But see, they weren't looking for it here. That's the whole point. Where are you looking for the glory of your reward. Where are you looking?